Good morning once more. I want to introduce you to, I think I can call him my friend. I tell you, this church has become his friend. And how many here know him intimately, personally? Oh, okay. You guys are far better than I. You know, I met him at a men's breakfast, what, 3 years ago? Maybe 4 years ago? And, you know, it was just a chance meeting. Like, why would we become so involved in your life is beyond me. Outside of the Spirit of God has prompted us to spur him on. And so I'm hoping that this morning we're going to give him opportunity to spur us on. So I'm looking forward to what Stephen's going to share. And so I give this time to him. I'll pray for you before we begin. Father, would you anoint this man from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that he would speak words from you that this congregation is prepared to hear. Father, I pray that his voice would go out into this community, even behind us into the development. We believe that your word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what you set it out to do, and you choose to use broken, fallible, insecure people to do great and marvelous things. So we give you the praise in advance for what Stephen's going to share. And I pray that it's encouraging for each of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? How y'all doing? How's everybody doing today? It is such a blessing to be here with you. I understand we're on the radio. Is that? I've always been told I had a face for radio, so no. Allie's going to come up in a minute and share. I just want to first. I want to say thank you so much. Thank you. So we are Stephen and Allie Merrick, and we have three boys: Gideon, Jethro, and Enoch. And we are missionaries in Mexico with Ethnos 360. Which was formerly known as New Tribes Mission. You might have heard of New Tribes Mission and maybe not Ethnos 360. It's a newer name to give us the ability to get into certain countries that we couldn't before. But we just want to say thank you, first of all. This church has been such a blessing to us. As you know, we are living in the house down there, and that is a huge blessing. But even before that, we've known this church is a little church, but does such great things for the kingdom and for God's work in the world. And we know you're praying for us, and we have been so blessed by all of you. Allie's going to come up in a minute and share her testimony. I'm going to share just short testimony here of how I came to know the Lord. So I was born into a Christian family, lived right around the corner here in Penn Township. I think we're still in Penn Township, actually. I don't know, but I grew up right around here. I understood the gospel when I was a little boy. I was 4 years old. My mom sat down with me. She explained the gospel to me. She explained that, you know, I was a sinner, that Jesus had, because of my sin, I would be separated from God. I was separated from God. And that Jesus had come and he had lived a perfect life, and he died to pay for my sins. And he didn't just stay dead, he rose again. And if I believed that, then I was saved. And I believed. I trusted. When I was four, it wasn't any big, huge conversion, you know, of things I was doing before. But that was the most important day in my life, was that day when I was 4 years old. Just a little bit after that, there's so much more that I could share. But I was saved at four. But growing up, I was taught, and I believe that there was no way you could know if you were really saved. And I want to read Hebrews chapter 2, something that just stuck out to me here. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, it's talking about Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. And it says, "And he might free those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." I was saved. My sins were forgiven when I was four, but I was still under slavery to the fear of death. And it wasn't until I understood that the way I know I'm saved is by looking at Christ, is by looking at the cross. Is, you know, when I was 20, I was in Bible school, and I was still struggling with this. Just, how do I know? And I couldn't grow past that point until somebody said, "Look, the way you know is Do you believe that what Jesus did on the cross paid for your sins? Do you believe he died for your sins and he rose again? That's how you know if you believe that. And I could grow after that. That changed my life. It gave me freedom from this fear of death, because that's not what we're called to as believers. Allie's going to come up real quick and share. You can go.
Good morning. Like Stephen said, we are just so grateful for you guys. I've encouraged many of my friends on the field in Mexico, other missionary friends who, just with the stories of this little church that has been such a blessing to us. And so we thank you. We're really grateful to you guys and grateful to God for bringing us together. So Stephen asked me to just share a little bit of my testimony so that you could have a better idea of who we are. I also grew up in a Christian home, but unlike Stephen, I walked really far away from the Lord. And I won't, without going into any details or any of that, just suffice it to say that I spent a large portion of my growing up years and my young adult years living very defiantly against the Lord. And by his grace, he brought me to a point where I was willing to reassess those lack of belief, the lack of belief that I had. And he showed me clearly through his word first he showed me that he cared about me, which was really where the struggle had started, with a lack of believing that he actually cared about me. I never doubted his existence, but I didn't think he cared. And so he showed me that he did care. And I was at college in New York, and he started just working in my heart. And I started going to an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship group on campus, and I got involved with a church. And he just showed me his love for me first. And I started reading my Bible, and I as I was reading my Bible and learning from these Christian groups, the Christian group I was part of and the church that I was part of, I started to see that when Christ died on the cross, it wasn't just him that died, that it was me too, and that I had died with him, and that filthy person that had been living so in such defiance against the Lord, that she was gone and she was dead, and she had no power over me anymore. And very quickly, my life flipped around, and it wasn't because I thought, okay, well, now I'm a good Christian and I'm not going to do any of these awful things anymore. It had nothing to do with that, because I liked all those awful things and I enjoyed them. I enjoyed my life. I mean, parts of it. but it was just because I found something better. And because the Lord had changed my heart, and he was changing my life from the inside out. And all the enjoyment, all the fun went out of all the awful things I was doing. And I started to realize that I found fulfillment in Christ and joy in Christ. And so that was why my life changed, because my perspective changed and I no longer wanted to do all those things anymore. And so I was still part of this group on campus, but I was also, my faith was brand new again. Even though it was stuff I had heard my whole life growing up, all of a sudden it was mine and it was fresh, and I was so excited. And I was excited to share about this Savior that I had met and share that with my friends, but none of my friends really cared, and no one wanted to hear what I had to say. And it was so discouraging, but the Lord used that in my life, because as part of this this InterVarsity group, I don't know how these students came to join the group. We had a large group of international students from India and from China, and they had never heard the name of Christ. They had no exposure to the gospel, so I have no idea why they were part of our group, but they were. And several of us started a Bible study with them, and it was so cool because I got to see these people who had no idea about the hope that we could have in Christ place their faith in him as we taught them from God's word. And we saw them put their faith in Christ. That just, the Lord used that in my heart. And I thought, you know what? If there are people out there somewhere in the world who don't know about Christ and who want to know and who are going to be as excited as I am once they know, then that's where I want to go. And so that was when I decided that even though I was well on my way to an accounting degree, that I was going to go on the mission field. But I didn't know what that looked like. So the summer before my senior year, I was working at Victory Valley Camp. I don't know if you know it. It's in Zionsville. And Stephen was working there as well. He was a lifeguard, and I was a counselor. And we both had dinner off one night, and we were just sitting and talking. And he mentioned that he was in training for tribal missions. And we didn't know each other very well, but these lights started flashing in my head. And I thought, well, boy, that's what I want to do. And I've never met anybody else who wants to do that. So I guess I better marry him. But I didn't tell him that. But I just started praying for him. And at the end of that summer, we went out. He took me out on a date. And 2 weeks later, he asked my dad if he could marry me. And about 9 months later, 2 weeks after I graduated from college, we got married. And so that's coming up on 9 years ago. And we are still excited about the life that we have in Christ and excited about the opportunity we have to share that with people in Mexico. And I've probably taken more of his time than he counted on already, so I will go sit down. But we just are so grateful for you all.
Thank you, Allie. I want to pray before we start here. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for your body, that we can come together, that we can seek you and worship you, and we thank you for your word, that we can know you, and I pray that you would be honored and glorified, and I pray that you would speak through me in words that are your words. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so we are missionaries in Chihuahua, Mexico. You might say, where's Chihuahua, Mexico? Is that like, isn't that a dog at the Humane Society or something? No, Chihuahua is a northwestern state in the country of Mexico, and the city of Chihuahua is the capital of that state. It's about 4 hours south of El Paso, Texas. If you know El Paso, Texas, you go through Juarez, and then you go right down to Chihuahua. I'm going to try and get everything in here. I'm going to share some of what we've been doing, and then just have a challenge for you and share the way the Lord has been working in us and led us to where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do next in Mexico. And so for the last three plus years that we were in Mexico, we came back on furlough. We've been here since November, and we'll be here until September. We'll be in Allentown, but we'll be there until September, and then our plan is to go back to Mexico. But for the past three plus years that we were in Mexico, we were learning Spanish and Mexican culture in Chihuahua. Allie studied for a year and a half and graduated, and I studied for 3 years and graduated. So you can just guess who's the better language learner. Over those past 3 years, we've been blessed in so many ways that we've seen the Lord provide through so many different things. We got there, we're looking for a house. He found a house for us to live in for our whole time, and he gave us neighbors, and the one neighbor spoke English. And in the beginning, that was great. I mean, it was great. She was a great friend the whole time. But we get there, and Gideon has an asthma attack, his first asthma attack ever. And we're like, what do we do? Well, we go to the neighbor, and she speaks English. She's like, I'll go to the hospital with you. And we're like, what's going on? He can't breathe. And she said, oh, my sons have asthma. And it's just an asthma attack. We'll get to the hospital. You'll be all right. And so many blessings, so many ways the Lord has provided through it. Church down there, a Mexican church, has just been a huge blessing to us, and people and language helpers. It's amazing the way the Lord provides and protects us and lovingly teaches us through everything, through life. Proverbs 16, verse 9, says, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And I think that is something we constantly have to remember. We can make our plans, but the Lord directs us, and the Lord is going to lead us to where he wants us to go. And anyone that knows us, knows Allie and I, knows that our heart is for unreached people groups. And you might say, what's an unreached people group? Well, a people group is a group of people that have their own distinct language and culture. We are the same people group. We have the same language and more or less the same culture. An unreached people group is a people group that does not have the Word of God in their language. And so our heart is to see the Word of God in their language so that these people can come to the Word of God, they can know God, and they can be saved. And so they can grow and mature in Christ. You might say Mexico, like they speak Spanish there. They have a we have a Spanish Bible, but Mexico has 62 different base languages, not related to Spanish. 62 different base languages, and those 62 different base languages have some 240 different dialects, more or less. And some of those dialects could both use the same Bible. Some, they each need the Bible because they're so different. It's 15% of the population of Mexico is indigenous. So when we arrived in Mexico, we thought, okay, we'll be in a tribe. One day we'll move into this tribal group. One day we'll be translating. Maybe Ali will be translating, and I'll be teaching. But, you know, all along we've said, Lord, direct us, direct our path. Have us serve where you'd have us serve best, where we can best see this end of unreached people groups reached. And so as we started Spanish study, it became clear to us very quickly that my language learning ability wasn't that great. I learned Spanish, but it was beating my head against the wall sometimes, you know, it felt like, at least. And so we kept studying and praying, Lord, direct us, Lord, lead us. And at one point, our field leadership came to us and they said they didn't think that I should learn a tribal language. And because these tribal languages, Spanish is hard enough, but that's an easy language compared to these tribal languages. So they said, we don't think that that would be a wise thing. But they said, you know, we think you should still join a team. Ali can work with the ladies. I can help with the translation maybe. And that I could be the maintenance man for the team because God has gifted me to work with my hands. And that sounded great to us. And for me, not having to learn another language was kind of a relief. You know, if the Lord said, Stephen, I want you to learn another language, I would say, okay, you're going to provide for it. But I didn't want to learn language for another 10 years. That's not where God has gifted me, and that's not the joy of my heart to learn language. The Lord made it clear that wasn't his plan. And so we started to pray. We were excited about this, started to pray about this, about what team the Lord would have us to join. And as we got closer to the point where we'd have to pick a location, we started to get this uneasy feeling, like something wasn't right. And I'm not one to be led by feelings. You know, the heart is deceitful. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So I'm not going to be led by feelings. But it was there. There was this feeling. The things that we started to think was, if we move into a tribal location, Allie is going to be the one with the main ministry, and I will be the one raising the kids. And that has worked for other people, and the Lord has wired people that works well for them, but it didn't seem right for us. That's not how we work together. And so we just kept praying, and we just kept saying, Lord, direct us. Guide us, because if he said, look, I'm going to put you in this hard situation, his Holy Spirit's going to provide. We're not going to say no because it's going to be hard. No, we're going to go because he's led us. But as we're praying about this, we're seeking the Lord, say, Lord, what is this about? What would you have us to do? We'll do whatever you say. And our field leadership came to us and they said, blows me away. We didn't tell them this is what we're thinking. They just came and they said, Stephen Alley, we don't know that you should move into a tribal location. They said, Stephen, you would have a lot of work to do for the first month or two with maintenance, and then it would be Alley would have the main ministry and you'd be raising the kids. We didn't tell them that that's what we were thinking. The Lord brought that to them. They were praying. We were praying. And so that kind of blew us away a little bit, and we said, okay, this is clearly from the Lord. So what are our plans? Because I just told you everything we're not going to be doing. We're not going to be moving into a tribal location. But as we were there talking to the leadership, they said, look, we desperately need people with your gifts and abilities here in Mexico. You see, in Mexico, we have a number of of tribal teams. They're translating the Bible into these unwritten languages. They're translating, they're teaching the Bible. But they don't have anybody that's full-time dedicated to seeing that their physical needs are taken care of. Their building, their maintenance, their water, their electric. There's people there translating, but because they don't have somebody to come alongside of them and make sure everything else is running, they're spending all large amounts of their time just keeping things going, just so they can survive. One of our tribal teams, the one man that is there, he speaks the language, he's translating, he's teaching, he's trying to do that, but he has to spend 40 hours a week or more just to survive. And the problem that we have there is that's not what God has gifted him with. God has gifted him with translating, with language. And God has not gifted him with maintenance and with his hands. And so the work that he's there to do, the work that we're there to do, isn't getting done because there's not somebody to keep it, to take care of those needs, the physical needs that are real needs. In one of our works, the missionary has to drive multiple times a week. He has to drive over an hour and a half away just to get water. And he loads it up in his truck, and then he brings that back, and that's their water. Until it runs out, then they have to go back out and get more water. And so those are things that we know how to deal with, and we could help him. Look, let's figure out a better system that you can get water, and you don't have to spend all this time doing this. And so we will be based in the city of Chihuahua, and from there we will be able to go out whenever our teams need us and to assist our tribal teams, so that together we can see the unreached reach, so that together they can continue and they don't have to spend all this time doing what they're not there to do. Some might find this discouraging. You know, you think you're going to do this thing. You think you're going to be the tribal church planner, the translator, or whatever it may be, and that doesn't necessarily happen. But we're not. Sure, some things are hard, but our heart has always been to see the unreached reached. And we want God to use us where we'll be most effective to see that end, to see unreached people with the Word of God in their language. And we feel so blessed that we can use the gifts, the abilities that God has given us to that end. And we're so excited to be able to come, not just join one team, but to join all the teams in Mexico and be able to come alongside of them and say, what do you need? What do you need to finish this? What do you need? How can we help you so that you can do the work you're here to do? And I just think of Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And that we had our plan, but he directed us. And his direction is so much better. The question some people have is, what is Allie going to be doing? Because, you know, I'm the maintenance guy. As you can see, we have our hands full. We have three little boys, and we love them dearly. But our ministry, our first ministry is our kids. And so her primary role is going to be raising the kids, because we feel that's the most important thing. And in the past, missionaries said, forget the kids. And what do? They grow up and they don't trust the Lord. And so that's the first thing. But also she's going to be able to come along with me. Because we're all going to try and go out when we're going out or when doing different trips. She's going to be coming along and assisting. And in the future, there are many opportunities, too, as the boys grow. And there are many opportunities in the city. We have a training center. We have a training center in the city of Chihuahua for Mexicans or anybody that speaks Spanish to come and learn. And then they can go and do a translation and all of that. So we are going to be assisting them, too, as much as we can. And there's a Bible school. We train. We don't just use American missionaries. We use Mexicans or whoever wants to be part of this. And so we'll be a part of that, too, that ministry. I'm just going to go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. That is the verse for today. Pastor James was telling me Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." I was talking to James, and he said, "This is the verse for the week. Could you share on this?" You know, and I was thinking, I don't know, like, what, you know, when you're given a verse to share on, it's kind of like, what am I going to do with that? And the Lord must have known what he was doing when he gave Pastor James that verse, because I think it works perfectly. As I started thinking and pray about it, the Holy Spirit, he definitely knew what he was doing. Before God created the world, he knew who would believe. He knew who would trust him, and he prepared good works for us to walk in. Before God created anything, he knew that he would give us a heart for the unreached. Before he created anything, he knew that he would give us a heart for the unreached peoples in Mexico. He knew when he sent us to Mexico that there would be a need for someone with our gifts and abilities. He also knew what it would take to get us to the point where we would say, "Yes, Lord, that's what you have for us." He knew that if he had said from the get-go, "Guys, you're going to go to Mexico, you're going to be the maintenance people for the field, for all the missionaries there," we might have said no. We might have thought, "This isn't really what I want to do. This isn't where, you know, this isn't what you've blessed us to do. This isn't what we think we should be doing." So he knew what process it would take to get us to the point where we're saying, "Lord, this is what you have for us. This is what you've created before time. You knew that you would have this work for us to do in Mexico." And now we're saying, "Yes, that's what we're here to do." And we're excited about it. God knew what it would take to get us to that point. God, he even knew. He gave us the gifts and abilities to do that, which just blows me away. That we didn't see it right away, but he knew it right from the beginning. And here's my challenge for you today. It's, we are all new creations in Christ Jesus, created for good works. What good works has he prepared for you to walk in? What good works has he prepared before he created anything for you to walk in? No matter what stage of life you're in, you might say, "I'm retired." You know, it's like my vacation time or not. I don't know, you know. But it doesn't stop. It never stops until we're in heaven with him. And then I don't think it stops there. We continue to work forever. It's something that God has, it's a blessing that God has given us. And so what has he given you to do? I think it starts right there with the house. I think it's wonderful that the house is going to continue to be used for missionaries, for seeing God's kingdom spread throughout the world. That is an amazing thing to me, a wonderful thing to me. It starts with prayer. Just say, "God, what in this part of life, in this stage of life, what have you prepared for me to walk in? What have you prepared for me to do?" And being willing when he says, "This is what I want you to do." Because if we don't yield to the Spirit and say yes, then what's the point? And so that's just my challenge. That's my prayer, is that you'd say, what you'd find that out. What does God have for you? We know what God has for us. We've been so blessed that he's made it so clear to us. And he uses our gifts and abilities that we might think, "How could God use this?" And he's used the gifts that he's given us in so many ways, getting us to where we are and where he has us. He will use them in the future. Again, thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us share. Thank you for letting me share today. Thank you for being behind us. And if you want to talk to us, you want to know any more of our story or any more about our ministry, we'd love to talk to you. We're here. You know where we live. So you can always come by. You see that white truck there? We're there. And so, you know, we would love to talk to you. Thank you.
the best thing we can give to this family is our prayers. So if I think I have one elder here this morning, would you be willing to pray with and for this family? And I'll close, and then we'll continue to sing and worship. And I don't know. Thank you for sharing your testimony.
God, we're so excited that you've brought these people into our midst. It's been such a privilege and joy for us to get out of our little box and to experience the world in a bigger way and to have impact in Mexico. And we would ask your supernatural blessing on this family, that they would be given energy with the young ones, and that they would be given perseverance and patience, and that you would continue to guide them through the power of your Holy Spirit, which you've clearly already been leading them on a path that you've chosen. Thanks again for bringing us into their lives and for the gift that has been to us. And we pray your blessing on them and on us as we all continue to serve you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
So let's continue to pray. Father, I lift up this family. I thank you that you choose to use uncertain people that are don't know what the next step holds, and you ordain our steps. Father, I pray for Gideon and Jethro and Enoch. I pray that these fine young men would be trained in the way they should go, that when they're old, they wouldn't depart from it. We know that you have a plan for them. Father, we thank you that some have made a profession of faith, and I pray that you would continue to be with Stephen and Allie, that they would draw their children closer to you, and that one day they would solidify their seat in heaven. So I thank you for calling Allie and Stephen to be your hands, feet, and voice for such a time as this. I pray that you continue to shower them with blessings. And I ask that you would use this church to be part of that. So we give you the praise in advance for how this one family is going to make a huge difference in another state or country. So thanks for calling them. We thank you that they chose to respond. So you get all the praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.